Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Certainly, start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell a truth, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on, the last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
I'm a sailor!
Let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a beautiful Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Monday Night Football tonight's going to be a good one down in L.A. We've got to get into that game. Cougs all over Arizona on Saturday. How's that for a statement win? Will they hang 55 up in the first half?
Whew. Yeah, that one was one I kind of regretted going, hey, why didn't I put $20 on that game? I thought they were going to blow them out, but I didn't see 55 in the first half going.
Dear Lord, yeah, we were watching, kind of checking on our phones down in Eugene, seeing what the score was of that game, and we noticed that Washington State had scored two touchdowns within 5 seconds, and we immediately started wondering, how is that physically possible? How did that happen? And then once we got into the press box at halftime, we realized the touchdown and then the kickoff situation, they fell on it in the end zone. That's wild. They dominated. We'll get into that here in a little bit. You know what else is this week? And I'm a little ashamed I have not brought it up yet. Some listeners have been asking for it today.
What?
It's the best drinking day of the year.
Usually you hold that for Wednesday.
I know, I'm just letting people know.
Usually on Wednesday,
I'm just letting you know.
Don't shut up about it.
Get ready.
Yeah.
It's in 2 days. I'm just putting it on your calendar. Okay?
It is. Do you know what you're going to drink?
Circle that bad boy.
How much do you plan that night? Or is it just like...
It's a free-for-all. This year, I'm changing it up a little bit. Me and some buddies are going to the Winterhawks game. So we're going to start there.
No.
I got to call a game on Saturday, so I need to do a little research and go watch him on Wednesday night.
Can't wait for the research with $9 beer night going well.
So we're going to start there and just see where the wind takes us that evening.
Yeah, you got a great sports week.
It's a really good sports
week.
Is
this, because it's been thrown out there on a couple blogs, is this truly the best sports week of the year?
I don't know, man.
Depends on how much
meat and potatoes of football.
I guess it would depend if your particular college football team had a big, you know, like maybe for, you know, Michigan, Ohio State fans or something.
Hold on. This is still a rivalry week.
It's still rivalry week. Like, what if Oregon State wins on Friday? That would be crazy.
They're going to rush the field.
Yeah.
And they hit the over. Some of the other people are going to be celebrating for different reasons.
Yes!
I don't know. I still think maybe the first week of April with the Final Four and the Masters.
Yeah, you see, the thing with the Final
Football
Four,
has to be incorporated for me.
Yeah.
In order for it to be considered the best the week of the sporting year.
Final Four is great, but as we've discussed before, you kind of lose it a little bit with the momentum you gain the first 2 weeks of the tournament. Like
the
first
opening,
2 days.
Yeah, I think the opening 48 hours of the tournament are better than the Final Four.
Most of the time,
because everybody's
yes.
bracket's still alive. There's games on for like 16 hours of the day. They start at 9 in the morning.
You're watching Buffalo upset Arizona. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Nobody's working. Everybody's boozing early with Bloody Marys.
Right.
That's what makes the tournament fun.
Right, right.
Once you get to the Final Four, it's like, everybody's bracket's busted. You're playing in a stadium. Nobody can make a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me the opening 2 days.
And the Masters are great for their own reasons, but
yeah,
we're talking rivalry football here. You still got the NFL. You got Tiger Phil this year.
That's what I said. You got a golf impact on this week this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's added to it.
If you want to shell out.
If you want to pay the $20.
You act like $20 is this huge if you want to shell out the dough. $20 isn't that bad. I'm not saying they're worth it.
Hell, I'm going to buy two beers at the Winterhawks game. I'll be $20 in the hole.
I gave $20 yesterday to somebody in prison. I can't pay $20 to Phil and Mick.
Hey, all right.
Or Phil and Tiger.
I don't think it's worth it. Right. I think
it might not be, but at least we get to hear the F-bombs.
Everybody's going to be hugely disappointed.
But we get to hear the F-bombs on the HBO pay-per-view stuff versus
you
you're not going to
hear them on the ambient mics on Golf Channel.
No, they're not going to allow it on TNT. When they re-air this thing, they're going to edit it out. Watch. Edit it out, and you're going to be like, man, wish you knew what he said there. Blank mother, what's going on?
Right, right. I can't quite tell. I can't read between those lines.
I don't know.
No, this is a solid week. I'm with you on that. It's hard to top. You got Thanksgiving football, the rivalry games that start, and it's all week too. So it's not just a Saturday, Sunday. I mean, you got games that start on hell, there's probably stuff on Wednesday night too that I won't be watching. And then
well, you got the Maui Invitational starting up, so it could be Duke and Gonzaga if they advance. That would be Wednesday for the championship game.
I wish I could just show you what Dirt's face was when Swag said,
"Can you drop the
got the Maui Invitational?"
Can you hit the no one cares drop?
No. You can't.
Hit that bad boy.
No one cares.
Thank you.
Does no one care about Duke Gonzaga?
I don't think that's on many radars, buddy. Especially Thanksgiving football weekend. What day would that championship game be?
Wednesday night.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Dirk could be 18 drinks in
watching that game.
Well, I think Zion! Go get him, Zion!
Also, you have the MLS playoffs starting back up on Sunday.
Oh, this is true.
So, boom. Best sporting week of the year.
4:30 p.m.
So, golf fans happy, football fans happy, soccer bros happy, and hoops still going on.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. Yeah, who are we leaving out here? Baseball?
Yeah, there's no baseball this time of year, but probably most people don't care about that. I should have known that Gonzaga could have been playing because my buddy Cash went to Gonzaga and he's going to the Hawks game. He wants to go to a bar early to watch that game.
Oh, yeah. He'll let you know he went to Gonzaga.
He'll start rooting about Gonzaga.
Jeez, dude.
Gonzaga. Like,
school
cares.
With one sport. They let you know it.
Yeah. Nobody cares, buddy. By the way, are we just going to blow past the fact, as the listener points out, that you sent $20 to somebody in prison? Is this like a personal thing? Are we not talking about this?
Yeah, it's a personal thing. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, we don't bring
it. It's a personal thing.
Okay, okay.
It's a good thing.
Okay, good thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Okay.
They're all innocent in there. Didn't you know that?
You're not like in love with like Charles Manson, are you? Not like one of those guys?
No, he is dead. He went and returned my letters. Now he's dead. Yeah, I don't know what to do now.
Now he's a goner. Okay, was it Brendan Dassey? You sending letters to him too?
Well, I sent him a tape to WWF, what was going on, give him an update. Now it's WWE, so Brendan Dassey was not in the know.
I love how the Gonzaga fans now taking shots, too. You just don't care about Gonzaga because they're the premier program on the West Coast. Blown by your stupid Ducks.
Play in a real conference.
Yeah, that's part of it. Also, it's November, and I don't care about college basketball yet. I'm sorry.
Most people don't.
Call me in March. I'll be excited.
Hey, you got your Zags basketball team.
Yeah, do you buddy.
You got basketball. My school's got baseball.
Right.
Come on. We all got our sport.
We got track and field.
You just also have to be willing to admit most people don't care.
Exactly. Okay, is Clay Helton done in L.A.?
He should be.
He has to be, right?
He's cooked. He was done before the L.A. Beatdown, but...
Yeah, not to mention giving up 13 points and blowing a lead to UCLA. The Chipper, that's a big win for the Chipper. He's building that momentum back.
Did not watch a second of that game.
No, we were on doing the pregame show, so I missed it. But I just know that they outscored him 13-0 in the final quarter. So they were down, 27-21 going into the fourth. UCLA didn't score in the third. They had a 24-21 lead at the half, let it slip through their fingers. That is a bad loss. And they got to play Notre Dame this week, so they're not getting in. And you remember the Pac-12 has that new rule now, 5-7 teams can't go to bowl games.
Yep.
That's a new rule in the conference. So even if they lose to Notre Dame 5-7,
They will lose to Notre Dame.
So they're done. So USC not going to a bowl game this year. If you're USC and you don't fire a coach over a non-bowl season, then I don't know what it's going to take to fire a coach.
Well, I heard somebody talking, it might take them a little while because right now they don't have a president. So there's some lawsuits going on.
They're dealing with a $215 million lawsuit right now.
Yeah.
They don't, even if they're USC, it's not like they're rolling in dough in the way people think they are.
Just call Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg.
That's a big, look, I think Clay Helton is not worthy of being USC's head coach. And it's great to see him kind of prove who he is as a coach this year. But the settlement and the lawsuits that they're dealing with, it financially may keep them from making a move they have to make.
Well, and at least they might have to take a while after the season to sort through everything. They can't just make a knee-jerk reaction because they may not be able to put a package together to go get the high-profile name they may want right out of the chute.
This is a bad sign for the conference. As much as we love watching USC when they're down, we need them to be good. The fact that they're in this much turmoil is just a bad. It's just a bad look.
I'm gonna go on a opposite side here. I don't enjoy it when they're down.
I do.
It's USC football, and if you grew up in Oregon, Washington, or anywhere in the Pac-12, USC football kind of has been the most decorated. Obviously, they're in LA, so they're gonna get that attention. I like beating them when they're good. I like when they're good and they come to your stadium. I like when they're good and they represent the conference on a national level.
I also remember getting murdered by them year after year after year.
Sure. A lot of teams have taken their lumps, but like the Lane Kiffin year, that's funny. This many years where they're not in that conversation like we think they're going to be, that's not good. I don't enjoy that. I like when USC is relevant and good because that's great for the conference. If they were relevant this year and they were a top 20 program, how much would that be helping Washington State?
It'd be helping them a lot in the conference championship game.
We need USC to be good. We need them to get back, maybe not to the level where they're winning every year and they're in that conversation every single season, but we need them to be good. I don't enjoy when they suck.
Well, I do. I'm enjoying it. I don't think it's going to last very long unless they keep Clay Helton, because that's a dumpster fire right now. They lose to UCLA, blow a lead, give up 13 fourth quarter points, fall 34-27. They're officially not going to a bowl game.
Yeah, they have tentatively agreed. This was back on October 19th to a $215 million settlement over a gynecologist.
Oh, that's not good.
So they have a hell of a lawsuit on their hands with sexual abuse. That's a lot of cash. It's hard to just go, yeah, now let's dive into football, pay somebody multi-millions of dollars to not coach here anymore, while also paying somebody else probably too much to be the head coach.
We'll see where USC goes as they fall. Interesting weekend in the conference. Mike McIntyre is officially out at Colorado. Let's stick with college football. Talk about officiating in the Oregon and Arizona State game. How about what Washington State did to Arizona on Saturday night? And then Les Miles is back. Is he okay? Mm. We'll ask that question. College football continues next on The Fan. Our boy Kevin Todd's going to hop on bottom of the hour. Talk about this Monday night game. I want to see where the money's going on this one.
I'll give you an update on that.
Because I kind of like Kansas City. I know I'm in the minority in that camp.
I think I like the Rams just for the emotional power of the fire and having a lot of people in there for free so they can take their mind off of it.
That's right.
We also have confirmed, I have the number of quarterbacks that probably are better than Jake Browning, the all-time winningest quarterback in Pac-12 history.
And I'm going to give ourselves some margin of error, about 9.
Well, if you do that, we'll see where that number is.
Okay, we'll do that and answer some poll questions to close out. Washington State on Saturday night, they wined them, they dined them, and you know the rest. 69-28, your final score. They put up 55 in the first half. Could they have scored 100 in this
one? Yes.
You think so?
And I'm tired of teams not trying for it.
You know what you didn't like that he called off the Dogs? Gardner Minshew threw 55 times for 473 yards and 7 touchdowns. 7 touchdown passes.
School record.
Are you kidding me?
No.
They needed this. I love that they won this way. Now, look, it's probably not going to matter because, hey, Pac-12 sucks, right? So who cares what LSU and Oklahoma do?
Sub-500 Arizona team, yeah.
Sure. I mean, Arizona's not great, but, you know, they had the same exact record that Oklahoma State had when Oklahoma almost lost Oklahoma State at home. So, but, yeah, again, let's not overreact. They should move up in the polls. They needed a statement win. I know Arizona's not great, but this isn't a close win over an inferior team. You were up 55-14 at the half. Are you kidding me? Alabama was tied with the Citadel. They were tied 10-10 with the Citadel at halftime.
Yeah, if you got the first half line, by the way.
It was probably, I don't even know if they had it. It was probably like plus or minus 50. Who knows?
It was probably, something like plus 30 or 35.
55-14 at the half. And all the fear about, one, there being nobody there because the crowd wasn't great. And I know Cougar fans are always concerned about that. So the crowd wasn't great. And there's always that look ahead factor. Are you looking past Arizona for Washington? Dude, they hung 34 points up in the second quarter.
Well, they also, by the way, they wore their best unis. The white pants, crimson helmet, crimson jersey.
That's your favorite look?
That's their best combination.
Yeah, they got sneaky good unis.
I like Washington State, what they got going on. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the playoffs, because I'm with you, I don't think anything changes at all. Michigan struggled the entire game against Indiana. Notre Dame had a really good blowout win against Syracuse. I think that's all going to solidify them.
Yeah.
Clemson, they won, but that was kind of one of those weird, ugly games. Bama struggled in the first half with the Citadel. Georgia, I think, won comfortably. Oklahoma won. And then you had Washington State there. So I don't expect anything to change, but I'm with you in the – it was good to see a response. They had struggled against Cal. And you just wondered, okay, are they going to stub their toe? They got the Apple Cup coming up here. And that's another game, by the way, I'd love to dive into this week.
Oh, absolutely.
And what it means for the conference and kind of for those two programs. They came out and they made a statement. They were not overlooking Arizona whatsoever. and they made quick work of them in that first half. They I jokingly say I wish they would have gone for 100. You don't play anybody in the second half of that game.
No, because they're getting ready for this week, and it's a short week. I mean, they had the added impact that Oregon did where you're playing on a Saturday night. So that game's not over until 11, and you're playing a day earlier than you usually do. So that's tough to overcome that. So it was good they got that big win, rested everybody, put it on cruise control, and get that nice little win. We did not talk about yet in the Oregon-Arizona State game. There were a couple of, as there always happen to happen in Pac-12 games, some officiating blunders. Not to mention, by the way, did you see the Utah kid that was tossed out of that game? Did you see that targeting call in the Utah-Colorado game?
I missed it.
Search that bad boy. It might be the worst one of the year.
Pretty bad.
It was a perfect form tackle. I don't even know if the helmets made contact and they called targeting and threw him out in the first quarter.
If the helmets made contact, you get ejected.
Yeah, he got ejected for targeting, but there was no... It was that bad.
But the snow game there in Boulder.
That was fun to watch. I like snow football. But in the Oregon-Arizona State game, you had the moment in the first half where there was the fumble, a strip sack of Manny Wilkins, and a big dog pile. Two referees point in Oregon's direction, say Oregon ball, as the pile is kind of there. Including the lead official pointing in the direction of Oregon ball. So Dusty and I start walking down to the other end of the field because we're like, all right, hey, Oregon's got the ball. We got to go back because we were on the other opposite sideline. We start walking down there, and then next thing we know, like 3 minutes later, Arizona State's offense is still on the field. They're deliberating. They don't really review anything. And then they give the ball to Arizona State, and Mario Cristobal snapped his headset in half. Did you see that? He snapped that bad boy.
Yeah, he was not happy.
How? And then at the end of the game, so Arizona State scores to make it 31-29. They have the two-point conversion to try and tie it there in the fourth quarter, and they throw a ball to Darby in the back of the end zone, and the referees officially say, no good, no good. Everybody's like, whew. And then all of a sudden, there's this like murmur like, hey, my God. Photographers and TV guys are on the sidelines are talking about it. You see the still shot. Look, I don't know if it gets overturned or not.
It wouldn't have got overturned.
How you don't review that is beyond me.
The picture, which, by the way, you can find online very easily, it wouldn't have got overturned, but you could also tell me before deciding on it, which they made the decision that it's no good, but if you were showing to somebody and you go, hey, you have to determine, is this a catch? Is he in or out? And you look at the picture first, I could see why somebody would go, he's in. Close enough for me to review. And somebody else had lined that picture up that the photographer had grabbed, and they compared it to Carrington's catch at ASU 2 years ago.
Longer than that.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
He made it streaking into the back of the end zone. And on that picture, his toe's touching the white line, but I think his heel had touched first. And so, you know, they give it to him that way.
Right.
But somebody compared it and said, this was a touchdown and this wasn't. And I understand frustrations from the ASU point of view.
Just go, let's go look at it. It's close.
So Herm in the post game, we played this on the post game show. Herm said he had actually asked about a review and the ref said, no, there's nothing to review. They wouldn't even look at it. That's frustrating. Like, that's inexcusable. At that point, that's a tie game if you give it to them. And if it's not, then obviously the game plays out the way it does. But, you know, what is that game different if it's tied? Yeah, I don't know, man.
Of course it is. Oregon would have had to have done something after that. Instead, they basically were able to run out the clock. Well, no, I think they ended up turning it over after that.
No, they threw the interception.
And then they got the fumble, and then they
ran the clock out.
And that was it, yeah. So the end of that game is, who knows if Oregon wins or loses depending on that call. But that changes the dynamic in the last couple of minutes, no doubt. Pac-12, it's just... their officiating has been so bad this year. We know nothing's going to change, and yeah. I think that's the frustrating part, and ASU fans have a right to be upset. So a few officiating blunders there. The other college football news over the weekend, Les Miles is back.
Les Miles is...
He got hired at Kansas, man, the Mad Hatter. They got turf, though. They got to replace that because you can't eat turf.
I'm happy for the Rops of the world because Kansas has been so god-awful. Did you catch the press conference?
Well, here's how it sounded. If you missed Les Miles' press conference, he's fired up to be the head coach of Kansas.
The style of football that we'll play, the community recognition of our players will grow. The opportunity to get out and do community enhancement and be involved with the many things. I'm having a little heartfelt here.
That is uncomfortable.
Is he okay?
I hope so.
Did we check him out for that?
Hey, that's a bad moment. It doesn't determine if he's going to be good or bad, but that's a bad press conference moment. He said, like 80 times for 20 seconds. He had no idea what he wanted to say. Well, no,
like he had three thoughts all at once, and he couldn't.
He couldn't piece them together. Things. He ended with things. He didn't know what he was like. And
little heart felt. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then he tried to like, I like that it's the emotion. Dude,
yeah,
we
I'm
have
just
stupid
right
things
now.
Said on this show on a daily basis. Just own it and move on. Don't try to excuse the emotions.
Yeah, we all
here.
Have brain farts and stuff. It happens.
You had a big brain fart.
Yeah,
you dropped a big brain fart.
I'm just glad it doesn't appear like it was anything medical, because you get those kind of stumbles and sometimes, and it's something that's actually happening medically.
Well, remember the woman on the LA News Channel?
Yeah, there was a gal on the news.
She had a heart attack.
Right.
And everybody made, I laughed the first time I saw it.
Right.
But she came out and said she actually had a diagnosed heart attack, and that's why she did what she did.
So Les Miles back in college football. Catch the fever at Kansas. We'll update the poll questions and preview the Jake Browning conversation, or wrap up the conversation about Jake Browning coming up here in about 15 minutes. But Monday Night Football tonight's going to be a good one. Who you got and why? 55305. We'll ask Kevin Todd the gambling perspective on this big game. We'll do that next. Hey, we had a grueling 1 hour show on Friday. It was tough. We had to battle through it. Brutal. And because of that, we missed our boy Kevin Todd for Spring in the Line. We didn't get a chance to talk to him. Now, I do. What's up, Kevin? How you doing today?
You guys paid your phone bill, I see.
We did pay the phone bill this time. Now, it should be noted, first I'll ask, have you gotten the vodka yet?
No, it was. He gave me a tracking number.
Boom.
I tracked it. It was delivered to the moon.
I'll believe it when I see that you
How
get
close
that.
Is it, though?
It's not even close to getting here.
Really? It's probably in like Iowa.
I haven't tracked it, to be honest. He did give me a tracking number.
I shipped that thing out, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's check and see if it's real. A tracking number doesn't mean it's actually vodka going your way.
Right.
It should also be noted, Kevin, that because you weren't here, Sprague still made his picks, and he went 0-3, but he's going no counties because we didn't get your picks.
Oh, my God. All right, that's fair enough.
All right,
we'll
all
go
right.
tonight. How's that?
Yeah. So we'll go tonight. What's the gambling angle? I mean, this has to be the biggest game in Monday Night history since they've gone to ESPN.
Only is it the biggest game, it's the best game, basically, of the whole entire NFL season. There's probably going to be more people watching this game than any NFL game the entire season. The line is now, was at 3.5. It's down to 3 and a total of 63.
Ooh.
But when it comes to the total, I don't know if you guys know, whenever the NFL has set a total higher than 57, 9 out of 10 times it's gone over.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Ooh,
but
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I like that.
So you're liking the over then tonight? You're thinking that's the same trend?
Well, I mean, you if that's the way, if you're going to bet the total, that's the only way to bet it. But I think the Rams are going to come out and cover this line. I know it's 3. It easily could, you can make a case for both teams. But if the Rams get, I'm going to say, that's 2 or 3 stops, I believe that's enough for them to cover the 3. I like the Rams in this matchup.
Yeah, see, I hate to do this because I know we're going against each other. I like the Rams as well. I just think this is one of those big monumental nights for them. They're giving all those tickets to the people that are dealing with the fire stuff. I think they understand what it means emotionally in that stadium. And I like them to be able to get a stop or two, and I for sure would bet the over. Both teams, are averaging like 33-plus. These are two of the top 3 scoring teams in the NFL, and their defenses aren't that great, particularly Kansas City's. But we've seen in New Orleans and throughout a couple games that you can score on that Rams defense. So I like the over, and I like the Rams minus the 3. I'm really curious, though, Kevin, because the NFL was very interesting this weekend. Was there one game that left you scratching your head and one game you liked a lot that maybe a lot of people didn't?
Oh, I can tell you, wow, this weekend was another bloodbath for the bettors, I can tell you that. The Sharps were all over Tennessee, loser.
Yeah.
They did get Jacksonville at +6 early, which was a winner for the Sharps. They also were on Houston laying at 2.5. The missed field goal at the end killed them.
Yep.
They were on Minnesota like it was stealing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Sharps were on Philly. They took a bloodbath there. And what other game was everybody on? They were on Atlanta and Dallas once. So it went kind of like Vegas kind of made all their money back. But tonight is also a good prop that I like. I like Todd Gurley over 95.5 yards rushing.
A good
that's
one.
It. Oh, yeah. Especially against that Kansas City defense. Got to be more than that. All right.
Nope. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oof. Only 95. All right. I
Sometimes
like that.
Sometimes they put those numbers and you're like, what? What are they thinking right now?
Are they smarter than me? Like, what's going on
here? Well, look, who did Kansas City play last? They played somebody last time they played, and the defense actually played well.
They beat, who was it last time?
Oh, it was the Cardinals.
Shut out Cincinnati, only held them to 10 points.
Yeah, beat Cincinnati 45-10, 21 to the Browns, 23 to the Broncos.
But like a point in case here is I think that Colts-Titan game's finished at the Colts minus one. Yeah. I loved the Colts all week in that they blew them out by 18, or 28, I should say. And then the other way.
It wasn't even close. It was ugly.
Right. And then the other way, though, a line that I was like scratching my head over in Vegas was 100% right, Carolina-Detroit. That was only four by kickoff, and I thought Carolina played on Thursday. They get the extra time. They got their ass kicked. Detroit's not good. They don't like their coach, and Detroit came out and won the game outright. So it can go both ways sometimes with the numbers that Vegas gets.
But you're talking about Kansas City defense. Their last four games, they've given up 10, 23, 21, and 14, and everyone's talking about how bad their defense is. I don't know how bad it is, but they haven't really faced an offense like the Rams. They've faced Arizona, Cleveland, Denver, and Cincinnati. Listen, this could also be an overtime game or team with the ball last wins. But like I said, I like the Rams. I like the over, and I like Todd Gurley over 95.5.
Okay, I'm just hoping we get a good game. That's all I'm hoping for. Just give me a good Monday.
No, you're gonna get a great game. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, thanks, man. We're going to talk to you again on Wednesday. So we'll get the picks for Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You can pick it. You got a whole bunch of days you can pick games from. But
maybe we do five for a shorter week. We'll do five picks.
I'll do that. You got five games on Wednesday.
You go 5-0, I go 0-5. I think you're going to beat me at that point. You came all the way back.
How many games am I behind? Or am I winning now?
Is he three?
You're two games behind him. 2 games behind him.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of good weeks, so definitely – Def, I'll have my five games ready on Wednesday.
All right. Hey, thanks, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight, all right?
You got it, guys.
There you go, Kevin Todd. Yeah, this one, I mean, when you talk about Monday night games, this is, historically speaking, one of the best that we've ever seen, probably since ESPN took over the rights, the best, or it moved to ESPN, the best we've seen in that era. A couple of 9-1 teams. The only losses, too, I mean, you're looking at two pretty respectable losses. Kansas City lost the last possession to New England on the road. And that one, and then the Rams lost to the Saints just looks better every given week.
When they came back in that game, and then,
right, they were down big at the half, and they made it a game there late. I just, whenever you get games like this, I hope two things. One, that it does live up to the hype, but you don't get a bloodbath either way. A couple of turnovers, maybe it gets lopsided. Because you had that early in that Saints-Rams game, and they were able to come back and make it entertaining. And the other one, I hope you see the offenses on display tonight. I hope this turns into a shootout. Those games, to me, especially when these teams are known for offense, it's one thing if you're going into a game knowing it's a defensive blood, struggle, kind of, back and forth, low-scoring game. These teams are known for offense. I hope we get a similar game to that Kansas City-New England game. Give me something 43-40. That'd be a blast to watch.
So two teams with this record playing each other this late in the season has only happened three other times ever in NFL history. I haven't been able to go through every single Monday night game ever. I don't know if there's ever been one with records of this magnitude, thus making this probably the biggest Monday Night Football game ever. And I'm going to be very curious about the number part. We have not talked ratings on this show with football because I got tired of it last year. I just thought it was a dumb topic.
Well, and the numbers are up this year, so
I'm curious to see where this is going to rank all time because...
Yeah, that's a good point for a regular season
game. I'm with them. I think a lot of people are going to be watching this football game. It's two great teams.
It won't go back to all time before cable and all that sort of stuff, but the highest rate, I think the guys were talking about this morning...
Bears-Dolphins is the highest rated Monday night football
game. When the Bears
game.
Had their undefeated season going in 85 and the Dolphins got them late in the year, it was like at 29.5 or something. 29 ridiculous.
Share. Yeah, we'll see what this polls. I'm with you. I think it'll be a big number. People are fired up for this, and I'm glad it's in LA.
ESPN's biggest Monday night football game ever.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're playing in different leagues there when you got a game that's on cable or non-cable, that kind of stuff.
Well, what would it mean, too, if they were on ABC again?
Right. I mean, if this game was on ABC, I think you could flirt with a number like that, but a little bit different. Who you liking this one? 55305 is a better you today text line. We're fired up about this Monday night game.
We got some breaking news.
Oh.
You want to hit the breaking news sounder swag?
Oh.
This came about 5 minutes ago. James Paxton's been traded to the Yankees.
Wow.
Jeff Passan is reporting it.
So it officially happened. Paxton's on the move. The teardown begins for the Seattle Mariners.
Wow. They got three prospects, including top-rated right-hander Justice Sheffield. I believe that's Gary's kid.
There you go. You go in the youth movement. Interesting. So Paxton's on the move. We'll react to that. Answer the poll questions. James Paxton has been traded to the New York Yankees. Yeah,
they really are the farm system for the Yankees.
Yeah,
aren't they?
They really are. And we'll talk more about this Monday night game. Do it all next. Closing up the show right here on The Fan. Good point from one of our P1s. Hey, going back to that whole best sports week thing.
Yeah.
We mentioned no baseball. Hey, you got a baseball trade. Good.
Yeah,
look at
Mariners.
Mariners helping us out here. James Paxton going to the Yankees.
Well, and one game that it actually happened when I was probably a little too young to remember any details, but I've watched going back on YouTube. There was one in the 90s. I want to say it was 1990 or 91 that a listener points out. The Giants and Niners, I think, both had one loss.
Okay.
So that may have been another point at this juncture of the season when
similar
two
records,
teams played. Yeah.
Late in the year, potential big-time playoff showdown. This, obviously, is Super Bowl ramifications could be the ultimate Super Bowl. So, yeah, it's going to be a good one tonight. We'll update a poll question on that quickly. I did want to remind people tonight is our Civil War party out at Big Al's.
Mm-hmm.
So come stop by, say hello, Big Al's in Beaverton. The tickets are $10.80. Do we still? I don't know if we're sold out or not. I don't know what's going on, but I know the money's going
no information
to the Oregon Food Bank. So if there's still tickets available, it's going to a good cause. We're doing the roundtable out there. Isaac and Suk are out there after us right when we're done here in about 12 minutes from now. We've got to be 21 years old. Come hang out. It's going to be fun. Civil War week. And it's nice to see the trash talk has already begun at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Listeners taking shots at each other back and forth. It's a fun week for trash talk. I enjoy it.
This is the week to not care about bias, especially for me.
Let it go.
And just own the rivalry. Just own it. It hasn't been great. The Beavers have won one time in a decade, but screw it. We're going to get our second win this week.
There you go. I like the attitude. We'll have more on the Civil War as the week goes on. And looking at the game tonight quickly, the Monday Night Football game, we had a poll question on it at Dirt and Sprague. And pretty evenly split, 55% of people are going with the Rams, 45% are going with the Chiefs. I do like Kansas City tonight. I can't really put my finger on why, although it should be noted I had maybe the worst gambling weekend of all time in the NFL. I think I missed basically every game.
A lot of people did.
Like, I'm at the point now of, like, thinking, should I go Costanza and just go the opposite of my instincts, which is kind of why I'm taking Kansas City here. I want to do, like, the, hey, let's do the weird thing. Let's go with the road team in this game.
It's been a week of the dog, so maybe you're right.
It's been the week of the dog. I don't know. I'm riding Kansas City. Mahomes is eating ketchup. He's putting it on his mac and cheese, and he's going to lead him to a W tonight. This one, it's fun when you get a game like this so late in the year, and I wouldn't be shocked at all. Now, granted, things change in the NFL. It's the beauty of the sport. Teams come out of nowhere. Last year, nobody saw Nick Foles coming as a backup winning a Super Bowl. So you always take that with a grain of salt. But I wouldn't be shocked at all saying it now that this is your Super Bowl matchup. The Rams are going to have a tough test with the Saints. There's no doubt the Chiefs got to prove they can go past New England. There's no doubt about that.
But do you think this is the Super Bowl?
I'm thinking there's a good chance it could be the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I mean, the way the Rams played that game against New Orleans, they're both going to have one loss. Maybe somebody else trips up and they end up with home field advantage, and it's in L.A. and the Rams win because they're at home. So this has Super Bowl, potential Super Bowl matchup written all over it. You just don't get that very much late in the season.
Well, I think Kansas City's going to get home field throughout the playoffs in the AFC. Even if they lose tonight, they're only at two. I think they've got a leg up on New England in that sense. And then L.A., like, I know their defense has not been great. Tlaib, I don't think, has been playing the last 2 weeks. And I think he's slated to come back in two or three more. So you'll get some more strength defensively for them moving forward. Right now, though, it feels like Saints and everybody else. And this is the week, 11 opinion. So this can change in two or three weeks. Mm-hmm. But I'm just fascinated to see what L.A.'s defense can do against that high-powered offense. And then on the flip, I think the thing that holds Kansas City back for maybe some out there is Kansas City's defense capable of stopping a really good offense? I know the numbers Kevin pointed out the last 4 weeks. To me, those haven't been great teams. So I want to see what they can do when they take on a team like the Rams. You know, Brady's already beaten this Kansas City defense. They've been banged up as well, but tonight's a good test for them. And you get to go on the road. This is one of those that builds some character for a young up-and-coming team mixed with some vets. And so I think Andy Reid and that group's looking forward to the opportunity. But there's no doubt they're two of the four best teams in football.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Kevin Todd likes the Rams. He likes the over, and he likes the girly prop bet in that one. Yeah, the spread, depending on where you look, just right around three. So it's basically a field goal game, which tells you how close Vegas thinks this is, because you usually give 3 points to the home team. So that's about all that separates Kansas City and L.A., and I bet if you flipped it and this game was being played in Kansas City this week, the Chiefs would be a three-point favorite.
I mean, that's a pick'em number.
People think it's that even and that close as it should be with a couple of 9-1 teams. So hopefully it lives up to the hype. Should be fun. We'll have it on, I'm sure, out at the Big Al's Civil War party tonight, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching that game. People are going to be yelling at the TV all night.
And for the M's fans just tuning in saying, hey, Paxton's Mandel, we reported that, and I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
I feel bad for Mariner fans.
It doesn't matter who your GM is. It really just seems to be like a thing you have to keep doing as the GM of the Mariners is trade your best players to the Yankees.
So they get in the deal. Supposedly it's the top outfield prospect, Justice Sheffield, who's one of the guys coming back.
He's Gary's son. He's supposed to be a really good prospect. So maybe that works out for you in 3-4 years.
And prospects are just,
it's a waiting game in baseball.
It's a waiting game. It's also an inaccurate science. Mike Zunino was a great prospect.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's just you're delving back into that territory of starting a rebuild over. And that team won 89 games last year.
As your best pitcher, and he's gone.
89 games. Yeah.
And the Yankees needed an arm, and they just, I think they got a good one.
He just made the Yankees better. Yeah, they're cool playing the we'll trade prospects all the time game because they can get guys in free agency. They have a great farm system. They're willing to do it at this point. I mean, when's an outfield spot could open up in New York?
No kidding.
Guys they got out there right now.
No kidding.
That's a smart trade for the Yankees and the Mariners. You start the rebuild process over again, and we'll see how many more guys move. What the official choice is on Nelson Cruz and what this means. But you thought the attendance numbers struggle sometimes the last handful of years. You strip it down again.
What if they're good?
They could.
What if they're Oakland?
The Pirates did this last year. The Pirates traded Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen, and they went youth movement, and they ended up being a good team.
I just feel bad for M's fans because it's like, yet again, hey, we're going to start over. We couldn't do this.
And it's the Yankees, which makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because you already think of yourself as the farm system for the Yankees.
What upsets me is Mike Lynch isn't even all that happy anymore. He's just used to this. He's like, oh, we need a player? The Mariners will give him to him.
Yeah, it's a Monday. We got James Paxton.
Here we are. See, he's just shrugging his shoulders like, you know what?
Cool.
Sprague's nearly not that wrong. I'm pumped to have him, but I'm not shocked we got him from Seattle.
Hey, at least Syracuse got killed, so we got that going for us.
Best thing Mariners have had in like 30 years outside of like Griffey and Randy Johnson, that moment on Seinfeld where George's dad yells at him for trading Buehner.
Also, Edgar Martinez could get into the Hall of Fame this year, so.
Well, he has to. It's his last year.
Doesn't have to, but.
No, he has to. He should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a travesty.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
And he has to, because if he doesn't, he won't get in.
By the way, number one answer, 30% of you saying our spread for the Civil War bet should be 13.5. I think we go with that official answer. 30% of you answering that. 20% going pick 'em, saying man up, Sprague. Let's go mano-a-mano, pick 'em.
Yeah, Swag, Sheffield's a pitcher. Oracle of Oswego strikes again.
His dad was an outfielder. There you go.
He just assumed his dad's an outfielder, so is he.
Does he sway his bat back and forth like Gary did? Good little show. If you missed it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll be out at Big Al's tonight, Civil War Party. Isaac and Suker live out there tonight. We'll be doing the round table out there tonight as well. Tomorrow, Phil Steele, Mario Cristobal will both be on the show as we continue to gear up for a great weekend in sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.